Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
The millennial generation.
Do you have a Facebook? Have you thought about the privacy you put at risk? Facebook allows users to post their favorite books, movies, their address, hometown, phone number, email, jobs, educational history, birth dates, interests, daily schedules, upload pictures of themselves, and even political affiliations. Think that's scary?
I'm Jim Burns. Well, if you're the parent of a teen or a pre-teenager, well, your kids are part of what is called the millennial generation. Trying to understand their personality quirks can be quite a challenge, or have you noticed? For example, these are kids who are really preoccupied with discovering who they are and what their purpose is in life. And yet, at the same time, they aren't the least bit concerned with the fact that they literally give away so much personal information about themselves on sites like Facebook and MySpace. It's a contradiction. Well, understanding the millennial kids isn't always easy, but it is important for us as parents. That's why you'll be glad you tuned in today to Homeward. I'll be talking with Jay Strack of the Student Leadership University about some practical tips for understanding the way our teenage and our preteen kids are thinking these days. So keep it right here for some great information. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference makers since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. During that next half hour, you are in for a treat. Jay Strack is with us. We're going to talk about understanding millennial kids. There's been a lot of debate over the past couple of years as to how broad that basis really is for the millennials. There's a new younger group coming up called the Plurals. They have lots of different conflicting values. There's a lot of different demographic conversation that we need to have as parents. But today we're going to focus on those millennial kids, kids born after 1982. If you've got young adults in your home, they fall into this category. And Jay is an expert at this with his work with Student Leadership University. Let's get into part one right now, and here is Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Jay Strack with us. We're talking about helping your kids find out who they are. Jay Strack, what a privilege to have him with us. Founder, director of Student Leadership University. It's an organization dedicated to developing unswerving leaders in their late teens who are inspired to make a difference in their world. I hope that's what you want from your kids as well. By the way, it's a great program. We'll talk a little bit about it. My daughter Rebecca went to it and it was life-changing. He's the author of many books, including The Three Success Secrets of Shamgar. It's a book on leadership, as well as brand new book called The Impact Student Leadership Bible. Actually, he's not the author of the Bible. He's the author of all the great stuff that's in it. Married to Diane, and the Stracks have grown children. They make their home in Orlando, Florida. Welcome to our program.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be with you again. And to be with Yoda. You know, we call you Yoda, not that you're that much older than I am, but just your influence on reaching students. Billy Graham grew old with his generation, and you know, I think that's what you and I've tried to do. And then along the way, get the privilege of talking to a lot of parents, and of course your show is like a breath of fresh air, so thanks for having us back on.
Well, thank you. Now, you work with a lot of kids who have great leadership potential. It's interesting, when we do a program on Homeward and we do something on leadership, I didn't think it was going to go, but your good buddy Pat Williams and you and others, when we have them on, parents listen a lot. Kids today are also influenced by what you call spiritual identity theft. So if they're not going to be a leader, they're going to sometimes be influenced by this spiritual identity theft, and I want you to talk about that.
Well, I'll tell you, Jim, the amazing thing is, there's a whole discussion going on about the millennials right now, but just a little tidbit that I think leads into identity theft. It's one of the great differences between those 12 to 24 and, of course, those of us over 24. When you get to your 40s, which is what most of the parents will be listening, 35 or so, we worry about identity theft. Okay, I mean, we don't want to do a transition online. We don't want to give away our social security number. We don't want to careful where we do with our credit card, because somebody could steal our identity. And we know billions of dollars worth of damage is done to reputation, et cetera. This generation, just go to Facebook, just go to YouTube, just go to MySpace. They don't care about identity theft. They give their identity away. I mean, far dangerously sometimes, and out of being naive. But they post it all. I mean, their most embarrassing moments, where they live, their age, their phone number, cell phone. I mean, it's scary. So, but I think one reason we have so much identity theft going on for this generation is because they're not even aware of the fact that you need to be careful to guard right. your identity. So that even that compounds the problem.
Yeah, it's interesting when you say that, because even with my own children, I would say that's something, that photo that you put up there in your swimsuit on your Facebook account, that's a photo that loads of people can see, and actually they can take it, and you know, 20 years from now they can be showing that. I mean, it doesn't enter their mind that if they write on an internet social networking website that they're going to McDonald's at 3 o'clock, that there are predators who could also be watching that. There's a spiritual identity theft that kind of takes place in many ways, too. What's going on with that?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, as you look at what, and we have the great advantage. There's a few, growing old is not for sissies, and you need to wear protection, you know, when you get older. But I'm just telling you, there's some advantages, because we've lived, some of us a little scarred, but we lived through the teenage years. We know what is out there. So these young people that come along don't realize that right. some of the things that look so very harmless play for keeps. Right. You know, I always like to say, you know, we're playing games while the devil plays for keeps. And we know there's a roaring lion. He walks around seeking whom he may devour. And if you look at that in the original, in 1 Peter chapter 5, original grammatical construction of those sentences, it's really a strategy on how to rob you of your identity. It right. says, be sober. And that's the battle for your mind and your emotions. Be vigilant. Well, when you put sober and vigilant together in the same sentence, they're both verbs. Be mentally alert, be morally alert is how that's translated. There's a battle for their mind, battle for their body. And so what happens is this personal adversary, this malignant force in the world, and this being has, I believe, very carefully laid out, and the scene blinds young people. And it was true when we were in the 60s and 70s, it blinded us, but the scene blinds them. So here they go. And now we know, according to Newsweek, just 2 weeks ago, that a 13-year-old now experiences as much as a boomer did at 18.
Now, your own story could have been one that really turned out tragic, but really it's an amazing story of you allowing God to transform you. Tell us a little bit about the Jay Strack as a young kid.
He was a delightful boy, cute as a button. No, but anyway, unfortunately, like a lot of young people today, I was born in a great situation. But it fell apart because of the baggage that my parents brought from their childhood. You know, the Bible has an interesting phrase, the sins of our youth, the sins of our youth. They get in our bones. They grow old with us. And we carry a lot of baggage with us. And I think one thing parents really desperately try to do is to help their students not and their children not make the careless mistakes or the tragic mistakes that maybe many of us made. So number one, we all want our kids to do better, but we also want to protect them from what we know is out there. And so I like to say that some of us, when we enter marriage and start having a family, we've got so much baggage with us, we need a porter, a sky cap, you know, somebody right. to help us get all this
sure.
baggage around.
Sure. Right.
So I was in a home that had a lot of baggage. Father started drinking young, drank at the University of Florida. He played for the Florida Gators, master's degree, captain in the Hell on Wheels Armored Tank Division. This guy had it all, but drank college, drank at fraternity, drank in the military. Now he came home, two boys, business pressures, owned four automobile dealerships in Orlando, Daytona. And the more he drank, the worse things got for us. Crawled in a bottle, couldn't crawl out. So my dad left with another one when I was six. That was my first broken home. I went through four by the seventh grade, six by the 10th grade. And, you know, whenever a divorce happens, mama gets thrown from the train.
Right.
We know what happens. They're beneath the poverty level. And so many ladies, all of a sudden, so you can be married 30 years, and somebody walk in and say, I don't love you, I never did. You know,
right.
And you want to just go, you know, hello. If you haven't, you know, if you don't know by then, there's a problem. So when the mama gets thrown from the train, so do the kids.
Yeah.
And so we bounced around, and my mom was with this guy and that guy, and there weren't single ministries back then. So if a lady wanted to meet, have companionship, she usually had to go somewhere that revolved around alcohol.
Right.
And my mom had a great ability to pick the wrong guy. So I went through all this broken home. She gave away my older brother when I was 8 or 9. And then the men that come into a life, we were talking about this earlier, Jim, before we went on the air, about what happens when a woman who wants companionship, and she loves her children, but she wants a little life for herself, and she's desperate for, not that she's desperate, but desperate to be loved
sure.
and to have a life. But then all of a sudden, these men start coming into our home. And there's little boys there and little girls there. And we know the consequences are tragic. So I was physically abused as a kid, sexually abused as a kid. And so by the time my mom gave away my brother, we moved so many times, almost 11 times one school year. I mean, 11 times from the first grade through the seventh grade. So by the time I kind of got to where I was pretty good sized and knew what was going on, there was nothing at home for me. So I was desperate to belong. So when the whole football team got together, broke out the cases of beer, I took my first drink. One drink was too many, 20 wasn't enough, and then started getting high, then got involved with methamphetamine, and ended up being a junkie 4 years, busted four times, dropped out of school twice. And I grew up in Florida on the beach, so, you know, you live to surf, you live to, for the concert, you live for the weekend. And my life was very, very empty, very fake. And by the time I was 17, I'd stood over the grave of a lot of friends. I knew life was tissue paper thin. I knew that when I walked through my neighborhood, I didn't want that life. And fortunately for me, I wasn't with a buddy. I had my license taken away, a horrible accident, because of my own carelessness, and could have cost a young lady her life, except for the grace of God. So I always try to help young ladies think, be careful who you date. I mean, you can just be going somewhere, minding your own business. He can be high, he can be drunk, et cetera. So be careful what you do. You know, the choices we make seal our fate. But I lost my license, was in a detention center. My best friend said, Jay, don't worry about it. You got wheels as long as I got wheels. And to make a long story short, he and his girlfriend went one way one night, and for that rare weekend, I wasn't with him, and he was tragically killed. And it was in that environment that I heard about Jesus for the first time. 17 years old before I ever even heard John 3:16. And I know for a lot of our listeners who've grown up in church, they think that's unimaginable. We got to go to Asia or Africa or somewhere, you know, and reach those that have never heard. But I promise you, in your neighborhood, people you work with, classmates, teammates, friends, neighbors, there's a lot of folks that have never clearly understood the unbelievable message of Jesus Christ. And it's too good to be true. I mean, when I first heard it, I said, somebody's got to be making this up, that a guy like me could start over. But fortunately, I saw living proof of young people who had been saved and changed. And I was 17, heard the message of Christ, and I got busted. I said, but I've been busted five times, four for drugs and then once for the death of Jesus, because I realized it was my sin that crucified him and my rebellion and my careless choices. And I was 17 and haired on my waist and had a big mouth and wanted the whole world to know that I had found something in Jesus that I'd never found anywhere else.
Yeah, and you're still doing it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Jay Strack with us.
There's a lot of passion in that man's voice, and we're so grateful that God did get a hold of him, and now he runs Student Leadership University. We're talking about understanding millennial kids. These are the kids that Jay works with. These are kids that are living in your home right now. If you want information about some resources on how you can do a better job of understanding millennial kids, I recommend Dr. Jim Burns' book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. You can order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, and when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. For complete details, go to HOMEWORD.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Oh, Judy, I know what you... Well, I remember how hard bedtime was when the girls were little. Yeah, they're up 5 seconds later. Actually, the best thing we ever did was give the girls their own TVs. Yep. Well, so they could just fall asleep watching their favorite shows. Oh, keeps them quiet. Yeah, especially when I need a little mom time, you know. Oh, and now that they play the games on the internet, I hardly ever hear them around the house. It's great.
Kids today watch an average of 27 hours of television per week. Is it any wonder so many young children are entering school with a poor ability to concentrate? In Luke 11:34, Jesus says, "The lamp of your body is the eye. And when your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light." Now, I know that you can't shield your kids from everything that's out there in the media, but you can control how they use it. You'll find a sample media usage contract on our website at homeward.com.
Welcome Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. What a privilege to have Dr. Jay Strack with us today, helping your kids find out who they are. He's the director, founder of Student Leadership University, a great, great organization. If your students, your kids need to get involved in some type of an amazing experience in terms of leadership experiences, then go to our website. And we've got a link today to the Student Leadership University website as well. He's an author, a speaker, as I mentioned just before, 15 million people in the last 30 years. Amazing. Married to Diane, has just put out the Impact Student Leadership Bible. You want to take a look at that as well. Jay, what a story that you just said right before the break. I mean, you told your story, and you're still one of the kids in some ways as you continue to speak to students. Sometimes really good kids, you know, maybe even kids who have been raised in the church, make some really bad decisions regarding drugs and alcohol. For example, one of the things you said in your identity theft book is that 90% of date rapes occur when either the victim or the attacker has been drinking. I want you to talk about that.
Well, alcohol is the greatest drug problem and epidemic we have on the planet. And I'm always amazed when everybody wants to talk about drug reform and tougher drug laws, et cetera, that we never will get back to the, you know, John the Baptist put the axe to the root of the problem. And alcohol is a gateway drug. You know, I started drinking first. And when you start drinking, that's first base. And then before you know it, you get to second right. base. So that is the most serious drug problem. 700,000 people are greatly affected. I mean, either accidents, deaths, right. because of that. And some will never, ever be the same that even survive. So what I'm trying to warn students to do is to be careful of what you put in your mouth that can rob you of your will and of your identity. The date rape phenomena is tragic, and we've had some situations now with what happened in Aruba with that beautiful right. young girl. Right. But the date rape drug, Rufinol, called roofies on the streets, as you know, and that because by the time the night's over, you're going to be on your back looking at the roof. I mean, that's just the only way to say it. It's odorless, tasteless, and colorless. And so when you go to an environment, a bar, a nightclub, a club, anywhere where there's alcohol going on, right. usually the person using the date rape drug will have several drinks mm-hmm. to kind of fortify them going through with that. Yeah. And then a young lady. But now we got to remind everybody, and this is every parent's nightmare, it's odorless, tasteless, colorless. They can put it in a bottle of water. They can put it in a Diet Sprite or a Diet Coke or whatever it may be. So simply put, the alcohol epidemic leads to all these other things. But we know that, why is it these bars will have ladies drink for free? Mm-hmm. Now think about that. Sure. That's not the best way to stay in business, you know. That'd be like that's kind of like saying Baptists can come to the buffet and eat for free. Now you don't want Baptists coming in eating for free. I'm just telling you right now, all right? But why do they let so many ladies in? Well, it's simple. You get these beautiful ladies coming to these spots. They can have one, two, three drinks for free, no cover. And, well, then guys are going to be coming by the busload. Why is that? What's that verse we talked about a moment ago? You lose the battle for your mind. Inevitably, you lose the battle for your body. Right. So alcohol is the number one identity theft there because it opens the door to, it's like, you know, alcohol leaves the door open. And then after you drink, you kind of go around and leave all the windows open and the back door open.
Right.
You know,
we don't have much time left, but students, these millennials that you're talking about, our children, they're walking in two parallel tracks. One is that it's kind of gloriously out of control. They are going in the wrong direction. They don't know the meaning of the resurrection or faith. There's another group of students, and you spend some time with them too. They're incredible students.
Yes.
They're more radically committed than any generation. As a parent, I want my kids to get on that track. Again, we don't have much time. What do we do?
I think the greatest thing you can do, teenagers have four great needs. And I think we got to remember that 8 and 9 year olds now are, so we got to consider that in this statement. They need a model. Now, that's been around for a long time.
Sure.
But they need a model.
Sure.
This is how you live. This is how we handle temptation. I don't watch that show. I look away when a woman comes by. I'm not one of the men whose head's turned. I mean, you know, we got a model for our young men and young ladies how to live,
right.
how to love God, how to trust Him. Number two, they need a mentor. And they don't need so much a sage on the stage. They need a guide that walks along beside them, you know. And, you know, Jim, you and I grew up, we were the sage on the stage, you know,
right.
in some
right.
sense. So it's hard for us. We want to give them that. Well, let me share with you what to
right.
do. But they need more of a guide mm-hmm. along their side. So they need a model. They need a mentor. They need a motivator. They need to constantly have somebody speaking truth in their life. You can do this. I believe in you. God's got this plan, this sense of destiny for you. And then, of course, they need a monitor where we're really looking at the telltale signs. How are we doing? You know, keep track of your kids and keep track of who their friends are. Now, those are the four basics. And if I have 30 seconds to say to parents, the greatest thing you can do for your children, and that is the old Hebrew midwife illustration of when the midwife in the days of the Old Testament, she was there for the baby about to be born. She made sure the baby was placed and head was coming out right. You know, she'd help with all that. Dads usually faint when all this happened. I'm not from personal experience, I quickly added. But anyway, the midwife is there, helps deliver the baby, clean up the birth experience, cuts the cord, and as she cleans up the baby, she makes this the sweet-tasting pablum, pomegranate and coconut and honey and fruit, etc., this little paste, and she takes this finger, and it's called the pointer finger for a reason, because for thousands of years, millennia, they put that pointer finger in the pablum, in the paste, and put it in the baby's mouth, and the baby nurses. It's a sweet taste. Mm-hmm. And the baby wants some more, and then some more, and then some more. And then the midwife takes that beautiful little baby, gives it to the mama, and the mama nurses the baby. Well, Diane and I had to come to this conclusion, Jim, and so you and your wife, as you look at your family. We've been given this child, this gift, for 18 years, 17 years, 20. I mean, we don't know how long any of us have, but we know that they're in our home and in our care for at least about that long. And our job is to put a sweet taste in their mouth for the things of God. Now, you can't be having roast preacher, barbecue, deacon, and elder, and church hash. You can't be making fun of everybody Christian on the TV screen, even if you don't like what's going on. You can't be so critical and negative that you put such a sour taste in their mouth for truth and the things of God. So if you want them to hunger and thirst for righteousness, we got to be putting a sweet taste in their mouth. Yeah. And I believe it's caught as much as it's taught. We're real good on the lecture, but we got to have the atmosphere so they catch this.
Boy, that's great stuff. Model, mentor, motivator, and monitor. That's part of our job description as parents, and we don't have to always have the sad stories, but there can be great stories. Thank you, Jay Strack.
Well, thank you, buddy. It's a privilege.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and speaker and founder of Student Leadership University. His name is Jay Strack. We've been talking about understanding millennial kids. If you missed any part of this program, remember we are streaming audio at homeward.com. We also podcast the Monday through Friday edition of the program, of which this program falls under that category. If you'd like to podcast along with us, it's absolutely free to do. And we've simplified the process for you. You don't have to go to iTunes and go searching around through a million podcasts. Just go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section. When you get to that page, hit the podcast tab, follow the prompts, and you can start your subscription today.
The millennial generation are the kids who are age 12 to 24 right now. And you possibly have at least one kid in that age range living in your home. Many of the people who listen to Homeward do. And it might be one of your own children. It might even be one of your grandchildren, because that's becoming more and more common. Well, I think that the millennial generation is a pretty amazing group of kids. I tell them this all the time when I speak to them. They're passionate about their faith, many of them, or they don't know anything about their faith. You know what? Some of them are really committed to sexual purity, and they're taking the purity code pledge all the time. And I appreciate that, kid. And we typically don't talk about them. Fascinating enough, they are also used to a culture that is constantly evolving, where entertainment is the medium they use to connect with. And so that means that if you want to build stronger relationships with your millennial children, well, you'll have to become a student of their culture. That's a big phrase. You've got to become a student of their culture. What do? Well, you got to read what they read, listen to what they listen to, and watch what they watch. And that's why we have conversations like this with people like Jay Strack. Now, it might seem as though today's kids are so into the gadgets and to the internet that you really don't have much in common with them anymore. However, that's not entirely true. You just have to expect them to do many of the same things you do, but, well, in a different way. For example, kids today aren't typically reading the newspaper. Well, that might lead you to believe that they don't have any interest in current events or what's happening in the world of politics or entertainment. But you know what? They actually do. They just don't get their news from the newspaper. Recent studies show that kids are more likely to get news stories online than they'll share that information with their friends. Different way of doing it. The newspaper may become obsolete because an older generation likes it. A younger generation is going to do it differently. Right or wrong? Well, that's where kids are at today, and we as parents have to understand it. So if you're looking to do a more effective job in reaching out to the millennial kid in your life, remember that their methods are probably different from yours, but their motives are going to be, well, pretty much the same.
Yeah, and Jim, I know that one of the ways that you have adopted and adapted some of the Homeward principles to this new generation of kids is for as
many years as I've known you, one of your principles is to listen to what they listen to, read what they read, and watch what they watch. You've since added search what they search into that mix as well. And one of the ways that parents can keep tabs on the culture, I mean, just try to keep up with the culture, not necessarily everything specifically your kids are doing, is with Homeward's weekly culture brief. Comes out every Friday, and that subscription is free. It's just a quick read. It takes about few seconds just to go through all the different tabs. There's about 5 different articles, links you can click through, and you can get that delivered right to your email box, your smartphone, however you would like to receive it. To start your free subscription to Homeward's weekly culture brief, just go to homeward.com and follow the prompts. That's HOMEWORD.com, and thanks for remembering that Homeward is a completely listener-supported broadcast outreach. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.